Welcome to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast, where we cover the best show on TV, Warrior. We're talking season 3, episode 4. And I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Matt Vader's not here. It's an empty chair. Oh, he's gone. He's like, I'm out of here. Screw this show.
Vader needed a vacation. Yeah. So he was like, screw you guys.
He's got some
going somewhere.
He got too drunk while we were recording last week, and now he's recovering.
I had to cut a few things out of his.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah. Jude's here. What's up, Jude?
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Kadish is also here producing the show. Welcome.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. After the awesomeness of the first three episodes, I was a little bit disappointed with this one.
This one was.
It felt like transitory. It felt like a placeholder until we can get to like the mid-season like twist episode.
There was a lot of setup, a lot of like character development stuff. Not so much action. It's not as
There was like one action scene.
There's one. Yeah, there was a fight scene in it. There's always a fight scene in Warrior. But I do agree that this one was a slow one. The first time I watched it, I was like, oh man, the heck. I was so on like a rush from the first three episodes. But I went back and watched it again, and I paid a little bit closer attention, and I kind of just sat down and, like, really took it in, and it wasn't that bad the second watch.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad episode because it set up a lot of stuff that I think we're going to need going forward in the season. But it was just, like, it wasn't as exciting as, like, the previous three.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to be that exciting when you're burning down vineyards.
Just standing in the smoky aftermath of a vineyard.
Yeah. Douglas Strickland, like Strickland from Back to the Future, Strickland.
Mm-hmm. You're a slacker. You remind me of your father when he went here. He was a slacker too.
Can we make as many Back to the Future references as possible today?
Principal Strickland.
Okay. Know what I saw him? You look like a slacker.
Your father was a slacker too.
Father June was a slacker.
No June will have... God damn, I can't remember the line. No June will ever amount to anything in the history of Hill Valley.
The history of Ducktown.
All right. Jude.
Yes.
Take it away.
All right, sir. Warrior, Season 3, Episode 4. In Chinatown, no one thinks about forever. The DIC, Detectives in Counterfeit, or Dick, make their way through Chinatown, plucking fake dollars out of the hardworking hands of the Chinese workers. Lee narrows down all the counterfeit bills to Hopway territory, and a posse is formed to storm the Tong to look for the missing plates. Kevin Spacey arrives to taunt young June, and when June takes the bait, he gets a beating worthy of his father. After seeing Big Dick in Chinatown, Chow tips Assam off about the incoming raid, giving them just enough time to flee with the printing press on a wagon. Assam has Printer's daughter lead a few bulls into an alley where he runs through them like a knife in warm butter. Then they make sweet fuck all night long. In the burned remains of Sonoma, Lai tries to save as many of her burned sisters as she can, and Atoy decides to head back to Chinatown where she can protect the girls. Once back in Chinatown, she puts on her armor and becomes the charming brothel hostess once more. Big Bill informs her he may not be able to keep her safe from the new chief forever. Mai Ling is still hanging out with her new best friends, the Ducks. Bernald Duck suggests she trust him with her money, and she's like, cool, I brought a bunch, and throws thousands of dollars on the table. When Bernald Duck tries to take his relationship with her to the next level, she stops him, but not before his wife sees the attempt. Next time she sees that whore, Mai Ling, it's when she's getting arrested for trying to seduce her husband. Leary tells Douglas he needs to provide 40 Irish jobs, and Douglas advises Leary he needs to trust him if he doesn't want to have to fight for every inch of progress. Leary says he'll take every inch he can get, and I'm like, me too. Buckley has dinner with that gross brunette, and she makes it clear that she wants that BD, Buckley dick. Hong and Satine visit an Eyes Wide Shut party and drink some absinthe, and Hong's like, take my money and this dick. Davenport takes Douglas to court, and the judge is like, I vote for man. Nellie loses her shit, and if she's not careful, she's going to end up in a bed next to Penny. And speaking of Penny, where the fuck is she? Discuss.
Thank you. Where is Penny?
Where's Sophie, too?
Sophie's gone,
too. Fuck Sophie. We don't give a shit about Sophie.
Before we get into this, I just wanted to bring to your attention the name of Big Dick Lee's bar. Did you notice it?
No, I didn't. What is it?
I noticed it.
What is it?
It's called The Slaughtered Cock.
fuck me.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if that's one of the new series that Trapper's developing.
Yeah. The Slaughter Cop?
Since he seems to name the bars after his TV shows.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. I want to open a bar called The Slaughtered Cop.
I mean, what in the heck kind of name is that?
It's, they smoke nice meats, and it's a meat bar.
I think it's very appropriate that Happy Jack owns that bar.
Yeah.
So he'd probably be like, I want to call it The Slaughtered Cop. Because Happy Jack is anything but happy.
Because this pussy's about to slaughter that cop!
What?
I don't know.
I don't get it. Maybe they serve really good wings there, guys. Why does everything have to be dirty?
Because it does.
It does have to be dirty?
Yeah.
There was a lot of dick in your synopsis.
I am aware of that.
Jesus Christ. So much.
Listen. Let's just get it out there because we're never going to be the companion podcast, obviously.
No.
So from now on,
yeah,
you guys can look forward to this being super fucking cocky.
I will say, though, that the fact that the companion podcast is being co-hosted by Hoon Lee, fire.
Sure. Absolute yeah. Fire. Oh, yeah. I was mad. I was like, freaking.
I'm still mad.
Companion podcast? And then I saw Hoon Lee.
Respectfully, I'm mad.
And I was like, all right. That's fair.
You can't go wrong with Hoon Lee.
You can't go wrong. I would do it too.
I mean, seriously, like that guy is one of the most eloquent,
he's so
intelligent,
poised, yeah,
like people I think we've ever spoken to.
Yeah. Okay. So, Big Dick Lee is fitting in well with his new job. The man in black, the counterfeit.
He's finally able to do actual police work.
Yeah.
And and his boss even mentions, he's like, no wonder everyone hated you. You actually do the work.
Yeah. He's thriving.
Yeah, what his girlfriend is like, this is a bad idea. She's got like the heebie-jeebies about this.
Uh-huh.
Is it just because of the bad?
She's Happy Jack's niece.
Yeah, and Happy Jack makes it a point to kind of like pin Lee down and be like, hey, cop, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't like you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I don't like you. Do you really care about my niece? And Lee's like, yes. And he's like, if that were true, you would pack up your shit and leave now.
Yeah.
And Lee's just like, fuck
you.
He's
like,
you
got
Jack.
A cop problem around this bar. There's one outside, there's one in your bed.
What do you say? They're multiplying like rabbits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Jack does not like seeing all the law enforcement around his business.
Well, if he could leverage it to his advantage, it would be good though. Because he's got Lee. He's got Lee locked in.
Yeah.
Now Lee has a badge.
Yeah.
Just put a little bit of leverage on that.
Happy Jack, number one, he doesn't trust law enforcement. But
right.
Number two, he doesn't trust white people.
Yeah.
And Lee's not going to turn a blind eye to all Happy Jack's shenanigans.
But I love seeing Lee like back into his game.
Yeah.
Like he is doing his thing. He's searching downtown, looking for counterfeit stuff. And he's got his map on the table now. And even and later on in this episode, the guy comes in. He's like, this used to be my office. And Lee's just sitting there with, like, everything is all his. And he's just like, I got this, boss.
Yeah.
It's like that Charlie Day meme where it's got, like, all, like, the connected.
Yeah.
He's been up all night using red thread. Lee is always on the job, even when he's about to partake in some opium.
Well, actually, he went in there specifically so that he could, like, search for counterfeits, but he was worried that he wouldn't be able to resist the temptation.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay.
I don't know.
I thought he went in there to get some medicine and then overcame
Yeah, that's how I took it. So when he walked up to a toys brothel and he sees the front door and the guy goes like, he has that like, oh, Jesus. I thought he had succumbed to his need for the opium and he went in there to go get some. And then right before he's about to light up, he sees the dollar bill, which sidetracks him.
Oh, I think that they had made a point earlier in the previous three episodes to say that Lee hadn't been back there since last season, since he started working at the bar. But I think that Lee knew that if he was going to find a lead, it was going to be at Toy's brothel.
That does make sense.
And so, like, you know, like he went in there under the guise of, like, yeah, I'm going to go to the opium den because they'd seen him in there before.
Yeah.
But notice how he stopped the girl from lighting him up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he sets the opium pipe down and he starts stealing people's money so he can test it. So I do believe that, like, he went in there undercover specifically to try to find a lead.
Hmm.
And that's when Chow sees him heading out the door.
Yeah.
And that's important because later on, Chow basically
saves the day.
Saves the day by tipping off Awesome that Lee's onto them, basically.
Yeah. God damn it, Lee's too good of a cop.
And Bill points that out too, later on in the episode. It's kind of funny seeing that scene, like after they do the raid on the Hopway headquarters, where Bill and Lee are basically complaining about the new police chief, mm-hmm. and they're kind of like their dynamics different, but now it's almost like they're on equal footing as opposed to Lee being like Bill's subordinate.
Yeah.
And so like they're able to be a little bit more honest with each other, yeah. which I thought was like a
this
nice...
new chief sucks.
Oh, he's you mean so... Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey sucks.
Yeah, he's awful. He's truly awful. The only thing that keeps him in check is having the freaking counterfeit guy around. He's the only one who can outrank him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a freaking...
Oh, God. He is out for blood, too. He don't give a shit the carnage that he
creates. I mean, was it last episode? Was it episode 3 or something like that when they did that raid? And he was like, hit him again. He's
yeah.
like, hey. And then this one, he goes down on... not goes down. He freaking... He hammers down.
I wish.
Whoa. He hammers down on young June. In front of everybody.
It's funny how young June, the only English he knows is fuck your mother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that so Lee gets the lead and says, hey, I think the Hopway are the ones who are making this counterfeit money. We have to go to their head office or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells the counterfeit guy tells the chief, they get a raid together, they show up, they bang the door down. And Young June is in there playing, gambling with his guys, hanging out, doing his thing.
And all the guys are letting him win.
Yeah. Did you notice that, too?
Yeah.
There's a little line of dialogue there with Hong.
Yeah. Hong literally tells him, like, boss, we're letting you win.
He's like, you're letting me win. Shut up, you son of a... Yeah. It was good stuff. And then, they go in there, and then they line them all up. And I immediately, I'm like, something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would not bow this fast. You know, they usually put up a little bit of a fight. When the cops start showing up.
Well, no, like, they can't fight against the cops. Yeah. Otherwise, like, they're going to kill them.
Yeah.
And also, like, the cops have been cracking down lately. And they're just looking for an excuse to, like, take you to jail and shut down your business and shut down your home and your life and
your tongue. Even specifically orders them all not to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, wasn't that because he knew what was happening? Because he had a heads up?
No, I don't think Awesome told him about that.
What?
I don't think there was time. I think once Awesome got the tip off, him and... Printer's daughter. basically tried to move.
You don't think that Young Jun was in on this?
No.
I don't.
Wow. I just assumed that they were all, like, on the same level. Like, hey, Assam went, hey, we need to get this shit out of here. The cops are going to be here. Young Jun's like, all right, cool. We'll stay here. We'll stall them as much as we can.
I feel like
while you guys get a getaway.
Young Jun is such a hothead right now, and he's unreliable that Assam is keeping him on a need to know basis.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Well, I also just don't think that there was time to warn everyone because that printing press is heavy, mm-hmm. and so it was going to take time to get it out of there.
Yeah,
and it looked like they had just got it out right before.
And that door is not hidden very well.
Oh, the one with the sandbags in front of it?
Yeah.
And Lee's like, does that look like a hidden door?
Half of a blanket.
Yeah.
You just go like this. Oh, there's a door over there.
There's a door down there. It's freaking ridiculous. Yeah, that was a very exciting moment. But yeah, the new police chief is just a freaking, oh, God, he's horrible. And Bill had to, like, walk. He's like, hey, he's freaking had enough, dude.
Yeah, you're going to kill him.
Did you see the look on Bill's face? Like, Bill's usually a hard motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
This dude, he walked, he's like, his eyes were wide. Yeah. He's like, bro, just calm down, boss. It's okay. And he's like, don't you ever touch me again. He's like, all right, man. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Bill's like, I don't know. Bill's different. He's different than he was last season. And mm-hmm. I like that. I feel like he's grown
the pressure has suddenly been lifted off of him. There's no pressure from his gambling addiction. Mm-hmm. There's no pressure from working for this Tong and having to live two different lives. He's just being a cop right now.
The fun guys aren't on his back constantly.
Yeah. But he doesn't want that chief job, though. I'll tell you what, if I was him, I would have taken his brother-in-law up. You know what? I quit. I'm going to go work at the factory.
He doesn't even care about being a police chief or, like, being a police officer. He doesn't do the work.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about that. Like, I do think that he has ambitions and he wanted that police chief job.
He definitely wanted that police chief job, yeah.
He's just very bad at playing politics. And
yeah.
He even says in this episode, my mistake was trusting Buckley.
Yeah, that's Snake.
Yeah.
Called him a snake.
Yeah, and also I think he just... He got stupid while he was on the job, and he got dirty, and then he was under the weight of having gotten dirty.
Yeah. What happens next?
Well, you want to talk about how this episode starts with the aftermath from the previous episode at the winery, the lesbian winery.
So. Why do you have to do it every time?
The sex winery?
The, yeah, hey, that sounds like a place you could go to.
Is there a train?
Yeah, so we see the charred aftermath, and Lai is basically mourning, like, all of her friends, the slave laborers who basically got killed last episode.
She's, like, pulling bodies out, trying to see if they're alive.
And Atoy is basically like, okay, I thought this place was safe. I thought this place was a new beginning, but apparently, like, you know,
this place did was make me soft.
Yeah. my girls aren't any safer here than they are in Chinatown, and at least in Chinatown, I can protect them. And so she basically breaks up with Davenport at this point and says, I'm bringing all your slave labor back to my whorehouse. Yeah. And Davenport's just pissed off, and she's like, Strickland's not going to get away with this. Mm-hmm. So that leads to two separate storylines, which is the return of Atoy. And Davenport going after Strickland in court.
Mm-hmm. And Assam stops her like halfway out after she's like put on her armor. Yeah, her makeup and her outfit and everything. And Assam is like, you don't have to do this. You're still recovering. And she's like, you know how long it took me to get into this dress? I'm going down there.
Good line.
And immediately you see the change wash over her as she comes down the stairs.
Yep.
And she goes from being like fucking battered to being this very charming brothel hostess and being like, oh, so good to see you. Kiss.
Can I also just make a comment about something we don't really talk about a whole lot in regards to this show, which is the music. Atoy's theme is so banging. Like it's an amazing, like every time she walks down, it's just like.
I do. That when she's walking down the staircase and that freaking rock music comes on and it's her theme, and like, yeah, it's freaking Atoy's awesome. She's great. I'm glad to see her back. This happened last season where she was like, white woman, don't belong here. Get out of here. After those cops came and tried to beat her up or tried to assassinate her, I guess. And also, we haven't gotten the Church of Assassination in this season yet. So I want that.
She killed their best players.
Yeah, but the church guy's still around. Yeah. He's still kicking it around.
Yeah, he's looking for new meat packers.
Anyway, I want her to stick to this now. Like, I'm good with Davenport just going her own way and dealing with the legal system or whatever. I don't feel like Atoy needs to slide back into this whole, like, love relationship thing. I don't want to see that anymore. We've done it twice. She broke up with her once because things went south. Now she's back at the vineyard because it's freaking vineyard land, but now that's burnt down.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, if she slides back into Davenport's bed again, I'm just gonna be like, come on, enough. Like, you've called it quits. Just like, let's move on. Let's go in a different direction. Because this, I was already bored with the Davenport Atoy love story. I don't want to see it again.
Yeah, and Davenport's storyline is obviously kind of like running its course because she takes Strickland to court.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the judge rules in Strickland's favor and that basically her land is getting, eminent domained.
Yeah. Yep.
So, like, she's not getting any money now for the land. And Strickland was like, hey, I even tried to buy it off you, but this is just the way the cookie crumbles. And she calls him out publicly. And then it's revealed later on in the episode that the judge was in Strickland's pocket the entire time. And it's kind of funny because he invites Leary over to his place. We get to see that Strickland is a bit of a swordsmith.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that setup.
Yeah.
That setup, him versus Atoy with the swords. Please, please give it to me. I want to see
it. Yeah, Tropper was like, hey, guys, check this guy out with a sword.
This guy that knows how to fight with a sword. We're all like, yes.
The guy that burned down the vineyard that Atoy was at.
I mean, he knows how to fight a mannequin with a sword.
Well, he was in the army.
Yeah.
Basically, Leary shows up and Strickland basically schools him on, like, hey, I could give your guys jobs, but if you want to go down this route, you're only going to be begging for scraps.
Yeah. I want to play the long game.
Yeah. I want to show you how to, like, sit at the table with the big boys. And then he takes him into the other room, and there are some ladies there of the night with the judge who earlier ruled in his favor.
Yeah.
And Leary's like, what are you doing in here? And he's like, what do you think? and so, like, immediately I'm like, wow, he got over Sophie really quick.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I think the whole show forgot about Sophie.
Mm-hmm. I think the show is trying to make us forget about Sophie.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, you think maybe Sophie could get her sister out of the asylum?
Right.
Something. Well, no, because Buckley's going to keep her in there as long as possible.
Well, yeah, Buckley's spending her money.
Yeah, Buckley needs her money. Yeah. So as long as she's in there, then he has access to the fortune.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to let her out.
Mm-mm.
But Sophie's weirdly absent. Like, did they send her to a charm school somewhere? I need an explanation.
And there's also a third sister that they mentioned in the
She's off at boarding school.
Yeah, she was at boarding school last season. Mm-hmm. But it's been, what, 6 months? So she could still probably be there. I know it's weird. I know the whole Sophie and Penny.
The whole thing. Mercer family has kind of been, like, sidelined.
That's all right.
But speaking of which, Buckley is getting a little bit more interested in his Lady Macbeth, the gross brunette.
Gross brunette.
Yeah.
She's
only gross because she's not redheaded.
That's all. That's all. I didn't really mention this last time, but in episode 3, when Buckley's doing the whole crowd thing, and he has to, like, shake hands with everybody, and he's just like, just grossed out by everybody.
Hates it.
I thought that was really interesting for his character. It was a really cool little thing for him. And then this lady, I haven't gotten a beat on her yet. I don't know what her end game is. Like, mm-hmm. she's trying to use him, but she's also saying, like, I'm not going to let you lose the mayor, the election. Uh-huh. So I'm like, what kind of power does she have?
She's, like, seducing him. Mm-hmm. But she also, like, has, like, some, you know. Like,
she has
like
ambition.
She's a behind-the-scenes maneuverer.
Yeah.
Because basically, so what Buckley tried to do, like, he had his mini-me go out and leak a story to the press that Buckley's rival for the mayoral campaign, his brother was like an opium addict.
Right.
And so the press ran with the story, and we see a scene where basically the rival turns it around and makes it about, like, you know, helping out his family.
Right, yeah.
And you know, like, you know, lots of veterans, mm-hmm. you know, have been addicted to opium, and I choose to meet this with compassion and not abandon my brother. And he wins over the crowd through this. And so, like, the kind of October surprise thing didn't work. And you see, like, the mini-me Buckley kind of, like, being, like, all angry.
Darn it.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids.
And so Buckley's on the ropes, and he needs someone who can kind of come in and be his Buckley.
She's like, I'm going to make you a star, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And fuck your brains out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who is she? What kind of power does she have? Why does it matter that she's trying to hook up with Buckley?
I get the impression that she comes from a family with money.
Right.
And she doesn't have any power because she's a woman, but she has money. So she's going to make him powerful and be, like...
Is she a widow?
Therefore... No, she's a spinster.
Yeah, she made it a point that, like, she never married. And now mm-hmm. she's at the age where, like... You know, she's too old to, like, you know, take on any real suitors.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically she's honed in on Buckley because Buckley's not married either. And mm-hmm. she's like, okay, I see an opportunity here to marry this man.
And women in this time, that's how you got power. You married someone powerful. So she's going to make him powerful so that she can have some power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like her.
She's totally Lady Macbeth. So
for sure. I like her. I think it's a cool new character. I'm all for it. I'm curious to see where it goes. I feel like Buckley was more menacing in the previous seasons.
Yeah.
I feel like he's lost
his way.
They're
really humanizing him this season.
Well, the problem Buckley's facing is that he's no longer operating in the shadows. Like, he was always the behind the scenes guy. And now that he's in the mayor's seat, he can't have that luxury of, like, sneaking around and doing the maneuvers behind the scenes and stuff like that. He has to be out front doing stuff. And we saw it in previous episodes that you mentioned where he's out there interacting with the crowd and he's almost having, like, an anxiety attack because, like, he hates doing that type of thing. And so he needs someone who can kind of come in and manage him kind of like this woman's doing. And he recognizes that.
Mm-hmm.
His handler.
Yeah, his handler, because his mini-me is not doing his job, mm-hmm. basically. But that also leads us into My Ling's story for this episode.
She got done dirty.
Listen, man, I think Vader would probably say he saw that coming.
Yeah.
Like,
we all did. Yeah. Even Leong saw it coming.
Yeah, you're not going to fit into the society the second they have a chance to turn on you.
Uh-huh.
They're going to turn on you.
Yeah.
Well, I also feel like Mai Ling should have seen the husband coming a
mile
away.
Don't get that close to him. He's going to try and fuck you.
Well, I
feel like she should have expected it.
Yeah.
Just from, like, her own personal
experience. She was so naive about this whole thing.
That's what I was going to say. She seems really naive. Either that or she's rushing into this whole thing really fast for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, when he's like, oh, yeah, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. I could probably take some of your money and invest it properly for you. And she just throws down, like, four wads of cash on the table. Like, lady,
those were probably each $1,000 rolls.
At least.
You
who knows?
Partner.
Yeah, but I just, like, for her to do that, it didn't make any sense to me. Because I feel like she's more savvy than that. With like business relationships and stuff like that, I feel like she should have done something a little bit more official.
Yeah.
Like, talk, I got the approval, give it a day, come back and say, hey, here's a contract or whatever for this amount of money. Mm. Something more official than just like throwing wads of cash on the table. It just seemed like really not like my Ling.
Yeah.
It seemed weird.
Yeah.
And then when that dude was like hitting on her.
Even the terminology that they were using leading up to this happening was all like our relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think our relationship. And then he fucking tries to fuck her and she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Seriously?
What? Did you not see that coming?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lady.
Yeah. Stop walking towards him.
Yeah.
He's got his dick pointing towards you.
Yeah. I mean, if she were smart, she would have banged him and wrapped him around her little finger.
I don't know. That would have backfired real quick.
His wife was standing right
there. Right there. She's like,
this
hey.
Guy, fuck this guy
yeah.
for doing that with his wife in the next fucking
right
room.
There. And she's like, hell, I'm going to go get another bottle. In the next
she's
room.
Coming right
she's coming
back.
Right back. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So,
well, also, like, the thing about rejecting his advances, that basically complicates their business relationship.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, she should have probably just, the smart move would have been to go along with mm-hmm. it. And I think that there's a great scene in this episode where Lee Yong is sparring with Marky Mark Dacascos.
Yeah.
And Dacascos is like, hey, you know, you're distracted.
Yeah.
And Lee Yong's basically like, My Ling's out there in Ducktown. I can't protect her. And Marky Mark basically says like, hey, you know, like she's smart. Don't worry about it. But he's like, nah, man, like something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was basically set up for the end of this episode where basically the woman who had kind of taken My Ling under her
the
wing.
The new blonde Penny,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. The bad Penny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad Penny.
Bad Penny. So Bad Penny basically calls the police on My Ling and accuses her of solicitation
mm-hmm.
and gets her arrested. And it just so happens that both My Ling and Young Jun were arrested on the same night and are
ooh.
Probably going to be going to the same prison.
Oh,
I don't know. Is there a women's prison in this time?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think they would just have her in a separate cell.
Yeah.
In the same,
yeah.
same
yeah.
thing underneath the police station.
Oh, I didn't.
There's got to be just one.
And I think that this is leading up to basically Young Jun and My Ling forming an alliance against the white people.
Hmm.
Maybe.
That's fascinating. I did not think about that.
Honestly, I'm tired of the Tongs fighting with each other. I want
you
them
want a race
to
war?
Rise up. I want them to rise up.
Jude wants a race war for the rest of the season.
Take out Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Leave Big Dick alone.
Yeah, Big Dick's fine.
Yeah.
Leave the counterfeit guys alone. Give them their plates back mm-hmm. and go work together and make some money.
Yeah.
And then
maybe Leary can just like take a.
What did you call? What did you call the counterfeit guys? The department.
The detectives in counterfeit.
Detectives
yeah.
in Dick. Or Dick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dick for short.
They're dicks. Get it? Private dicks. Detectives.
Yeah.
Also, they have dicks.
Also, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Big Dick Lee.
Big Dick Lee.
Perfect.
It
Lots
works.
Of dicks.
It works on so many levels.
Jude is on her mountain of dicks.
So let's talk a little bit about Awesome. In this episode, where uh-huh. basically he saves the day by getting the printing press and the plates.
When he leaps over the printing press.
Oh, okay.
Like
hold on,
fucking Spider-Man.
No. Listen, this he went full Batman
yeah.
in this scene,
yeah.
right? It's raining. It's dark.
Yeah.
I am vengeance.
Yeah, no, seriously.
He takes out all the lanterns.
He does.
In the alley.
Yeah. I'm like, what is he? Is he throwing rocks? What is he doing? He's got batarangs now?
Yeah.
He turns the lights out, and then he hops out out of the shadows and beats two guys up and then disappears again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, he's doing Batman. This is awesome. He needs a cape.
So it's raining. It's thundering and lightning, and he's, like, fighting these cops in this, like, dark alley. And there's a great moment where, like, he leads Printer's daughter down there, and she's like, the alley's a dead end.
Yeah.
Like
we're stuck. Like, we can't get out.
She's like, we can't get, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, we can't get out. And he's like, neither can they.
Yeah.
She's like, wait, what?
Yeah, she does do that too. Wait, what did you say?
Yeah.
Neither can they. And then he disappears in the shadows. And then he comes out with bat ears and a cape.
He's like, poof, and then just smoke appears and he's gone.
But it's funny. So, like, he basically just destroys, like, five police officers mm-hmm. as they come down the alley trying to, like, you know, confiscate the counterfeit machine.
Yeah.
And then later on, when the police officers come back to the Hopway headquarters and meet up with Bill and Lee, they're like, some Chinaman jumped out and, like, took us all down. And Bill and Lee instantly know it's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. He's like, oh, they took five of us out like it was nothing. He's like, oh, it was awesome.
Yeah. And, like, he's like, like, well, would you recognize him if you saw him again?
I don't fucking know.
100% wanted Big Bill to walk him to that building, and he's like, was it that guy?
Yeah, was that, did that mural look like the guy who took you?
Is that the guy who did it?
Did he happen to use nunchucks?
That would have been great. That would have been like,
that would have been hilarious. Missed perfect. Opportunity.
Yeah, missed opportunity there. Here, come over here.
Yeah.
What do you want? Just come. Look at the wall. Did he look like that? Yeah. Actually, yeah, he did.
And then the cop go, they all look like that.
But that was the one big fight scene we got this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And it immediately led to the one big sex scene mm-hmm. that we got this episode, which is basically Awesome and Printer's daughter.
Yes.
Finally got sticky. And
yay.
It was pretty hot.
We haven't talked about Hong and his boy.
Uh-huh.
Well, you did the Eyes Wide Shut party that they went to.
Yeah. Hong's having the best time.
Listen, okay. I did have one thought about this. Mm-hmm. So Hong's storyline, we all love Hong. Hong's freaking awesome. He's got kind of got goofy, but he's a good fighter.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I like him as a character. Things for him seem a little too perfect right now.
Right.
And if something bad doesn't happen, they're treating his character too nicely. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, if this just goes and he's just like,
well, nothing,
I have a life and I'm going to leave the Tong and go.
Nothing bad happened to the other gay character in this show for a while.
Which one?
Davenport.
Oh.
So they're developing
his
character. They're developing this relationship. And then something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, something has to happen.
I don't know. I kind of feel like they're like, what do we do with Hong this season? So, like, they're writing him this, like, weird side story about, like, this relationship that he's developing with this entertainer. And, like, when he brings him to that bar, Hong's basically like, I think I'm going to like it here.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, later on in the episode, he's literally got guns in his face, and all the police officers seem to know that he's gay. So
they called him Princess.
That was weird.
I thought that was weird, too. I'm like, he doesn't know that. Is it because he has long hair?
Maybe.
That's the only thing I can think of.
He wears a necklace.
The only justification was for him calling him Princess.
He's experimenting with eyeliner right now.
His boyfriend has freaking eyeliner for days.
Uh-huh.
That dude does his makeup. I'm cool with whatever storyline they want to do with Hong. I love Hong as a character.
I love Hong.
But something needs to happen. There needs to be some tension there. Otherwise, it's just too easy. It's like he's on easy street. Mm-hmm. Unless it's with the Tongs. And then he's going to be like, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore.
Well,
they
got to go rescue young June from jail.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're the three best friends.
The three.
And Assam wasn't there, so Hong was really like, every time they hit Young Jun, Hong was like taking that.
Now that Young Jun's kind of out of the picture, that means that Assam is going to have to step up
and
run the Hong at this point, which is what he's always wanted. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, it's like, well, do they really want to get Young Jun out going forward?
And he's
going to
do it with his lady, just like Long Z and Mai Ling did.
Ooh. Ooh.
Printer's daughter is way smarter than most people seem to have given her credit for.
Yeah.
Well, she said that in the last episode, I think. She was talking about her brother.
It was this episode.
Was it this episode? Yeah. Where you're like, my dad taught my brother how to do a bunch of stuff, but he never paid attention, so I did.
Uh-huh.
So now I know how to do all this. the Fung Hais. Mm-hmm. What was his name? Zing?
Zing.
Yeah. Zing? Mm-hmm. We got a...
The funnest guy.
He's
where's he at?
Fucking swimming out of Alcatraz.
There's a lot.
He's riding a shark right now to the shore.
Yeah,
it'd be great if basically Young Jun got sent to Alcatraz and reconnected with Zing.
Ooh, shit. I don't know that. I could see them sending him to Alcatraz if they catch him on the counterfeiting.
Right.
But as far as what this was, no.
Well, the thing about, so like Zing has a bone to pick with the Long Z and Mai Ling.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make him an interesting ally for Young Jun. And so we know at the end of season two that Zing was
about to escape,
planning an escape.
Yeah.
And so what if by the time Young Jun gets there, him and Zing escape together and return to Chinatown as allies?
Yeah, I hope that storyline is not getting dropped.
How many episodes do we have left? Because this is episode...
Well, this is episode four, so it's a 10-episode season.
Okay.
We're going into the mid-season, like, twist, basically.
Yeah.
Every season of Warrior, season episode five, has, like, a big reversal in it, which is good storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Or when should we expect the...
The bottle episode?
The bottle episode, yeah.
I'm down for another bottle episode.
Episode eight, maybe?
Maybe that'll be the prison break. right? Mm-hmm. From Alcatraz, it'll just be Zing, and yeah. that'll be the only thing that happens.
Adventures with Zing.
Adventures with Zing escaping Alcatraz, and that's the whole episode, and then we just go back to this.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd be down for that. I don't know. We'll see. What else happens in this episode? I think that we covered pretty much everything, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the episode basically ends with Mylene getting arrested.
Yeah.
And basically, Awesome was able to get the counterfeit machine out before the police came in.
Where did they end up taking it?
I think they just like left it in the alley, but they took the plates with them back to the printer daughter's apartment.
Right. Like okay, yeah.
And then they got naked and had sex.
Yeah.
Sex scenes are good. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, it was a good episode. It had lots of story elements, lots of character stuff. Not as exciting as some of the previous episodes, but
it felt like a necessary episode to go forward. Like, there's only so many times you can like wow the audience before you need to like kind of like pull
do some story stuff
and set some stuff up.
Yeah, I'm really curious about Leary and Strickland working together. Mm-hmm. That'll be fascinating to see where that goes because Leary's a dangerous guy, but with somebody like Strickland pulling his strings,
you're a slacker.
He could be real dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like he could really put the pressure on the city, which is cool.
Yeah, you also see all the like the different like factions starting to form. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's the police. You got Strickland and like you know his faction with Leary, and
you got the Dicks.
Yeah, yeah. So and then you have like the Chinatown factions and stuff like that. Like battle line. Like the great thing that Warrior does throughout each season is they're really good at drawing the battle lines, and then by episodes 8, 9, and 10. Those lines start getting crossed, and it gets really exciting. So I'm excited to see what they have in store for us.
This will be good. All right, guys, that's it for our episode 4 review. Next week, Vader should be back. We should all be here talking about episode 5, which will be the mid-season premiere or mid-season finale, whatever they call it these days. I don't know, but episode 5 out of 10. I'm expecting big things. We will not just dicks, Jude. Jude and her dicks.
But including them.
Yeah, I wonder if the companion podcast talks about dicks
as
we do.
I love the fact that they have their own podcast, but A, they're never going to nitpick nonsense.
Right.
And they're never going to make fun of themselves the way we do.
They're never going to call Trapper full of shit like we do.
No, and they're never going to call Richard Lee Big Dick Lee. Although they do call Big Bill Big Bill. And I don't know if that was before or after us, and I want to take credit for it so badly. I want to take credit for Big Bill, but it's, you know, it's kind of an obvious name for a big dude like that named Bill. You call him Big Bill.
Yeah.
It's not the most unique nickname, but...
We said it first. Excuse me.
But Big Dick Lee is ours, okay? And Tom Jones needs to get on Instagram.
Yes.
But the Slaughtered Cock is definitely...
The Slaughtered Cock. That... is a fascinating name for a bar.
And I love it.
I want to ask where that came from.
I want to go.
Of all the questions.
I want to go. I want to get in a fight. I want to do some opium or laudanum or whatever they have behind the bar. And I want to shoot a gun.
Oh, man. All right. On that note, thank you guys so much for watching the video. If you're brand new here, if you're a fan of Warrior, we have seasons 1 and 2 in the library. So scroll back onto the playlist on YouTube. And you can check out our previous reviews of episodes 1 through whatever from seasons 2 and 1 and 2. Great show. We have a great time watching it. And we hope that you guys have a great time listening to us recap the episodes because we love doing it and it's fun. So that's all the reason I need. All right. Thank you guys so much. Subscribe. Support the podcast. Go to saltynerdclub.com. Stay salty.
Stay sticky.
Stay sticky.